Welcome to The Ether. Today's Wednesday, February 9th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, we have the Terraforming with Apollo DAO space. Let's take a listen.
Thank you very much for the early joiners. We're just getting everything set up now and we'll be ready to begin soon. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for joining. I think we'll just give everyone a couple of minutes to pile in. Thank you so much.
Sounds good.
How you doing, man?
Good, man. Good. How about you?
I am very well. Thank you. Very well. Ready for another space?
Yep. Sounds good, man. Excited to get into everything this week.
Awesome. So am I. We will have Anon joining us shortly as well. So yeah, it'll be both me and Anon on very soon.
All right, man. It looks like Anon is going to be here in a few minutes. So Bruce, if you just want to get started with me, we can kind of get into some updates that are happening on your guys' side. You guys can just let the community know a little bit about kind of what you guys are focused on right now, like as you said, like a dev update.
Yeah, perfect.
Cool, man.
Am I coming through okay?
Yep, you sound great, man.
Awesome. Yeah, so I think over the last couple of weeks, we've had kind of a number of different focuses. So I think, first of all, the whole Astroport thing, that launch, getting all those kind of vaults up, has been quite a big push. And I think there's going to be quite a lot of kind of exciting things that can kind of come out of this. So we're kind of seeing the first wave of these vaults. So we're kind of getting up all the UST based ones. And then we're going to kind of continue adding a number of vaults from there. Sticking with vaults as well, we started looking at some adding some single asset vaults. So I think this is going to be quite an interesting addition. So starting off, it's going to be with our N Luna and N ETH vaults. So for me, I think this has kind of some exciting potentials in the short term. So first of all, a lot of things that you can do through Apollo, everything from kind of farming Apollo tokens to kind of our CFEs, farming events, and everything like that. You'll be able to do that with purely exposure to Luna and to ETH through NLuna and NETH. But I think this also kind of opens up a lot more interesting potential in the future. So, yeah, I think we can kind of start. This will be kind of one of the basis for us going beyond just being auto compounding vaults to some more advanced strategies. So I think we're kind of really laying the groundwork for that now. I think
what kind of strategies are you guys looking at? I'm super excited for single staking, because I definitely know it'll be kind of like a liquidity suck, and you know, we'll allow people to auto compound, but also means that we're going to be able to get more money, you know, into the war chest for the community. But Yeah, I'm excited to kind of hear about what strategies you guys are thinking about.
Yeah, so I think especially on the kind of the Luna side, there's obviously more and more different Luna strategies, everything from kind of the N-Luna, B-Luna, Lunar X, and kind of a number of other strategies, and even kind of looking at maybe kind of arbitrage between B-Luna and Luna. So I think this would kind of, the single staking strategies would be kind of the first stage, but then we kind of look at having something that kind of moves your Luna between the best possible Luna strategy or kind of whichever one's yielding the highest. So I think there's kind of a lot of room that this could kind of grow. So yeah, it's something we've been putting a little bit of focus on. We've kind of nearly done the groundwork. The N Luna Vault and ETH Vault will both be ready pretty soon, within the next few weeks, ideally, if not sooner. So yeah, I think it's, yeah, we're laying the groundwork, but I think the kind of the future potential of offering an automatic Luna vault that this finds the highest Luna yield would be kind of a really interesting direction to go. And yeah, I think we're only going to kind of see more and more of these kind of Luna strategies. So I think, yeah, the more we can do now and the more we can kind of set that up, the better. And then also, yeah, like I mentioned, kind of the advantages of also being able to have that just pure Luna exposure and still be able to kind of farm and add that to the war chest as well. And then obviously we have kind of our own war chest Luna holdings. So kind of the more effective we can be with our farming strategies that we offer to the community, we can also kind of take advantage and make the most of those ourselves with the war chest and continue earning yield on that, on our Luna holdings as well.
Yeah, man, it's another kind of instance of you guys building something to, like, pretty much for yourselves, but again, it will kind of help out the whole community, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think that's kind of really goes to the ethos of what we're trying to do is we feel that if we need something or we see something that needs building and we can see a lot of use for it for ourselves, we get a lot of kind of very positive feedback. And that probably feeds into, well, to the next point, which was Apollo Safe, which went live, was it a week or 2 weeks ago? So it's been up a little while now. I had some really good feedback on that and some really really positive feedback, but also some good constructive feedback as well. So we're going to be making some more updates and improvements to that and continually adding to the functionality that we can offer through that. So yeah, I think these kind of, we will continue building tools that we see Terra needing or kind of the wider ecosystem needing and that we need, and really kind of use that to help not only kind of continue building Apollo, but also kind of helping build the ecosystem. And I think this is something that we kind of see on Terra especially. Obviously, it's kind of a non-EVM chain, so it's not like you can just kind of port stuff over from Ethereum. So there is kind of even kind of some of the basic stuff that you need to build DAOs and DAO tooling isn't available or isn't yet available. But I think that's kind of really exciting because it gives a lot of projects opportunities to build new things. And we're kind of seeing that more and more, the tooling getting built out, but also kind of more and more projects kind of coming out and open sourcing their code. And I think the way we really see it is that the more that we can do for the overall ecosystem, the more beneficial it is for Apollo, but also kind of everyone in the community as well. So yeah, that's definitely going to be kind of another major thing that we kind of keep focusing on. I think we'll keep kind of building upon Safe, and I think we've had some really good stuff that we can build in the future with that as well, and kind of really continue expanding the functionality of that out. So I think a few other things that we've been working on is our next farmers market or community farming event or IGO, as Deviants have called it. So I think initially we kind of made this community farming platform really around really dying kind of, again, it was for us, it was kind of, we were looking at ways that we could offer tokens to the community without needing KYC and without having people to actually invest. They could just kind of invest through their yield. And we've got a lot of interest in this. So we kind of looked at building out for Angel originally. And then since then, we've kind of had a lot more interest in people looking to build projects, but utilize it for launching their projects. So at the moment, we're kind of really looking at making that more scalable and easy to offer. And we've been kind of making a number of improvements around that to make it easier to offer to more projects. So Deviants will be the next project on that. And then we have a number of others that are interested in going live after Deviants as well. So I think it'd be interesting to kind of see that as an ongoing thing and try and make it more of a constantly running farmer's market. So
what are you guys' kind of ideas around that? Because, you know, for example, you look at something like Olympus DAO, and they have like their in-house policy team, which like help kind of set parameters of bonds and stuff like that. What are your guys' kind of thoughts around maintaining like the farmers markets and helping and like you said, kind of scaling that up? Do you guys have any thoughts there? Still early, kind of early stages, or?
Still early stages, but definitely have some thoughts, and we've been putting some kind of work into this at the moment. But it's really just kind of, I think on the scalability side, it's being able to clone all of our current vaults so that they can be offered, but then also making it tailored for projects so they can have their own branding and have their own kind of access to that. I think at the moment it will definitely be kind of one after another rather than having kind of a multitude of projects on there. But I think the more we go forward, the more we can kind of look at ways that we could potentially even have kind of multiple projects running at the same time if there's demand. And I think the more assets we can add as well, the easier it is, and the kind of the more opportunities there are to access these with kind of lower risks.
That's awesome, man.
I think that's on.
What up, guys? Yeah, sorry. Can you guys hear
joined.
Me?
Do we need to invite him up?
I can hear you. You're coming through.
Oh, cool. See if you guys can hear me now.
Yep.
All right, cool. Sorry. Yeah, I had to run home real quick, but yeah.
No, I can't hear on my
just
end.
Just to add to the
might be my
Apollo
end.
Safe stuff. Well, I'll just mute myself then.
You're coming through. I'm hearing both.
Okay. But yeah, on safe too.
I can't hear it. But no, one sec.
Obviously, sorry, Bruce is talking, but on the safe, it's a way to bring in more liquidity into the network as well. So even though it was a little bit, I guess, outside of our roadmap, I saw it as like a necessary tool to bring more liquidity into the network, which would, you know, overall help Apollo as well as everyone else, because, you know, wallet security is a big deal. You can't really be having like millions of dollars on one wallet when it's like a fund or, you know, like a small private DAO or whatever. So I saw it as a way to bring a lot more liquidity into the network. Because then, you know, like other bigger players that only operate on, you know, multi-sigs have an easier one to use, because like I said, the contracts themselves were open source and anyone could use it. But, you know, it takes a certain level of skill to be able to use the command line interface. And with that many funds, like if you don't know what you're doing, it can be, you know, a little sketchy. So I saw the safe as a way to bring in more, just more liquidity to the whole network. So that was definitely one of our main goals around bringing that in, was to allow other people to build on top of that. And then the adding on more functions. So, you know, taking the CW3 contract from the Cosmos on base and then, you know, adding more stuff on top of it for people to use. And then, you know, we had even debated, porting our multisig onto other Cosmos chains as well, so that people could kind of be basically be a little bit more interoperable between all the hubs while still using multi-sig wallets. So kind of just a few of the thoughts behind the multi-sig and why we kind of spent some time building that out for the community.
Yeah, man, it's a super useful tool. And I think a lot of people start to use it, especially when we have like the Sol and kind of more collaterals from different chains come on. It'll be really interesting to kind of see who ends up using it. And I'm super excited. Bruce is having some connection issues, I believe. Chloe, if you had a question, I will let you speak for a second. I will just approve you right now. And Chloe, if you had a question to ask, just go ahead. And hopefully Bruce will hop back in here as well.
Yeah, everyone's probably nervous that I'm the speaker now.
No, man, you're all chilling. I think next thing on our list was actually kind of going into the progress that you guys have made on your convex model, kind of why you're bullish on convex and being involved, on Astro and being involved kind of in Terra on that regard. So if you just want to give us kind of an update of where you guys are on that, that'd be dope.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, originally, like I said, the idea kind of came out of the Yearn. Yo, sorry about that. For some reason, the space just ended. So I just hopped over to the Apollo account real quick. See if I get some of the boys up here. Requested. Accept. Yo, what's going on, man?
So, is this Ian on?
Yeah. I don't know what happened. The space just ended, so right. I was like, I'm gonna just pop it over. But yeah, if you guys have any questions or whatever while we're waiting, if anyone's gonna join back in, I see where the other guys are.
I've got a question. What is your opinion on KYC?
On KYC, I mean, yeah. Personally, I'm personally not, I guess, the biggest fan of it.
Yeah, fuck KYC.
But at the same time, I see the other side of the argument where it makes sense for some situations. But I think that it should be like DeFi should have one layer, and then you can build a KYC layer on top of DeFi. And then that way people have the option. But that's just my personal opinion on it. I tend to use more non-KYC things than KYC things. Not that I'm like doing anything sketchy or whatever. It's just more of like something weird about it.
Yeah, KYC is anti-DeFi.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I'm fine with like a layer of KYC, but I don't think that like the base layer should be KYC.
Respect. That's all.
Hell yeah. And then I'll see where these dudes are doing, if they're going to join. If not, I'll just start talking about DeFi. Oh, shit. Did they start a new one or did I? I'm so confused right now. Whatever. But yeah, I guess I'll just start talking about the convex stuff then. Basically with the Astroport strategy, it's based off of kind of like the Yearn Curve Backscratcher Vault, which was kind of created during like the DeFi summer when, you know, Yearn was building all these vaults on top of Curve and auto compounding them and selling the Curve to create those yields. And then, you know, they kind of came to the realization that it might be a little bit smarter if they start to keep some of the Curve. So that's kind of where, I guess you could say, the Curve Wars really started, was like that back scratcher vault, which started with Yearn accumulating Curve and then max locking it to get the biggest boost for all the vaults. So kind of just based off of that situation, I noticed that, you know, early on that Astroport's tokenomics were rather similar to Curve. So once they released their white paper, I kind of started to build a strategy similar to the Curve Yearn relationship. Then, you know, after looking into that, I started to realize that because of the liquidity mining and the on Convex, they had, I guess, like a better peg between the liquid staking derivatives. So on Yearn, you know, if you were to exit that vault, you could be getting, you know, anywhere from a 10 to 20% haircut just on the peg, because they didn't have the liquidity mining rewards and they didn't really have it fully, you know, the full depth to keep that peg. Whereas Convex basically, you know, they had a bunch of liquidity mining rewards and they really bootstrapped some deep liquidity to keep that peg, you know, pretty close to a 1-to-1. So if you were to try to exit the, you know, that liquid staking derivative, you would be getting out, you know, with a minor deviance, you know, similar to like the B Luna, where it's, you know, the deviance isn't too big to where, you know, it's actually worth it to exit the position and not, you're not going to like, you know, get screwed by, you know, a depegging of like the liquid staking derivatives. So that's where the idea to acquire Astro came, and then we decided to do the lock drop as our way to acquire like our first lump sum. But it's obviously more of, I guess, an opportunity cost as opposed to, you know, investment risk, because we deposited our initial liquidity into the lock drop. So we took our Apollo UST that we used to seed the Apollo pool originally and put it in the lock drop, and we received around 1 million Astro tokens for that. So kind of saw that as almost like a no-brain move to do that. So that's how we acquired like the first 1 million Astro tokens. Then on the second phase, we decided to deposit UST, because if we had deposited any of our Astro tokens, obviously once the pool went live, then it would have sold half of the Astro tokens, and the goal was to accumulate more Astro. So we put around 500,000 UST into the liquidity like lock, the phase two. So we're still obviously some of that's still locked, so we've been slowly claiming some of those rewards, which is, you know, Astro and Apollo tokens. So then we can reinvest those that LP into some of our own vaults to basically compound that Astro position and earn kind of more Astro as well. So the goal was, I guess, to accumulate as much Astro with as little principal risk as possible. And then now the strategy is a bit like kind of more of a dollar cost average strategy. So every time our vaults compound, 20% of the performance fee goes to buying Astro tokens. So essentially we compound, you know, the Astro rewards and the governance token rewards, and we keep a portion of those Astro tokens into the treasury. So once again, you know, we're kind of using vault fees to purchase Astro for the DAO. So it's a little bit of a DCA. So on average, you know, depending on each vault, I think we have around, you know, like 30 to 40 strategies. Each vault has a varying TVL. So usually we'll have around 2 to 3 compounds a day. Lately with the current TVL and the prices of all the tokens, it usually averages out to around, you know, like 15 to 18,000 Astro tokens a week, since the Astro price is around 68. So we've been accumulating a lot of Astro through that lock drop, and then we've been purchasing it. I think we started around like 76 cents turning on this compounder. So we've been kind of DCAing all the way down, and that just continues to run, you know, about I would put it at around like, you know, like a couple thousand Astro tokens a day. So slowly accumulating, and then we're going to use those Astro tokens to basically bootstrap that whole you know, convex model thing. So we'll have a ton of Astro to be able to bootstrap those pools and hopefully, you know, have a really deep liquidity on that peg, so that the users can, you know, enter and exit the staking derivatives without, you know, too much of a cut. So that's kind of the goal around the Astroport strategy that we're doing. And then I don't know if anyone had any questions or anything else around that, but cool. All right. And then if no one has any questions on that, I can, you know, go into a few of our kind of other strategies and you know, stuff that we're kind of working on. That's, you know, it's not like super concrete, so we don't really make big announcements around it, but you know, we're trying to work with a little bit with Olympus right now to try to help get GOM over onto Terra. So then if we get, you know, GOM UST, we'll be able to create basically a GOM vault. And then obviously, you know, there's some other stuff that we're working on, you know, getting that all set up, but that's kind of one of our other, you know, little side quests that we're working on to, you know, to try to just help build out DeFi on Terra in general. So, you know, we've been helping teams, you know, get on the multi-sigs and a bunch of stuff like that. So we're definitely trying to onboard, you know, more DeFi projects, more people. And we see that as like, since our treasury owns Luna as well, we basically are incentivized to help build out Terra as well. So that was one of the goals of Apollo early on, was to acquire Luna. And then now Apollo is incentivized to basically print more UST out and, you know, and try and promote Terra and, you know, kind of help onboard a lot of people. And, you know, it's been really fun too. Obviously, a lot of the stuff that I do, I don't really post on Twitter. I mainly just shit post all the time. But I was down in Miami at the Terra Hack Week. And, you know, I got to hang out with some of the TFL people. I met, you know, a few of the dev relations guys and had a chance to work with a bunch of the Hack Week participants. And, you know, definitely pretty bullish on a lot of those Web2 devs that are starting to learn Web3. So I really do think, you know, Terra is going to keep growing and, you know, we're going to keep growing this developer base. So one of my like main things that I've been doing is trying to go out, meet developers and, you know, just kind of help them onboard into even DeFi or Terra specifically. So a lot of them are, you know, very talented developers. They just haven't looked into the Web3 DeFi stuff. So that's kind of been something else that I'm kind of working on just to bring more devs into the space. So yeah, that's kind of what I've been up to on my end. Like I'm a lot more into the business development side and like kind of overall strategies. So I've been kind of using DeFi since like 2016, and I've seen a lot of these early ecosystems play out, things that have worked, things that haven't worked. So the war chest model was essentially around trying to absorb a little bit of the token emissions. Obviously, that's a hot topic currently in Terra is token emissions in the early projects. But I know a lot of the projects that on Ethereum DeFi, when they first launched, had, you know, high incentives to attract a lot of liquidity. But over time, you know, a lot of those incentives started to slow down. And then we saw, you know, kind of DeFi summer where tons of liquidity came in. And that was about, you know, usually a year or two after a lot of those projects launched that they were really able to strive. So I'm still really bullish on Terra DeFi in general, even though I know some of the sentiment isn't super positive. I think that what's happening, you know, in the background, the developers coming in and UST, the strength of UST and Luna, I really do think that Terra will have one of the best DeFi ecosystems. But obviously personal opinion. So, but, I think, you know, obviously Ethereum DeFi is huge, but I think Terra has a really good user experience. All right. Let's see if someone wants to come up. Hello. Oh, am I in the wrong spaces? Do they start another one?
Kind of M assets and stuff that are kind of relatively lower risk. And we're already seeing some kind of interesting kind of delta neutral strategies and strategies around this. And then, if you can then start levering up those yields as well, I think it's going to bring a lot of benefits. So working closely working with the team and kind of in contact with Delphi around Mars and kind of keeping up to date with how they're getting on and kind of really looking forward to that launching. So it'll be I guess kind of similar to kind of the Alpha Hamoras type system with kind of the leverage yield farming, and I think we can also then start looking at kind of going beyond that as well. That would be kind of the first stage, but then can we look at stuff like I think the main kind of pain point really around the leverage yield farming is the management of positions. So I think that would be kind of the next stage to look at is how can we manage these positions, how can we kind of make them liquidatable to make sure that people aren't getting liquidated, and kind of whether we kind of do that ourselves or whether we work with kind of partners to do that as well. I think that would be kind of the next step for that as well. I think it opens up a number of things that not only it kind of makes it more profitable for the farmers, but it also allows us to earn more revenue for the war chest as well.
Yeah, man. That sounds awesome. Just want to test something. Anand, if you want to say something, yeah. Bruce, let me know if you can hear him.
Can you guys hear me now? I was just in the wrong spaces leaking all the alpha to like six people.
I can hear you. Bruce, can you hear Anand?
I cannot, but you can just let me know if he's talking or tell me to be quiet because I can hear you fine. I don't know why I can't hear Anand for some reason.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah.
Did you guys cover the curve, like the convex astroport, all that type of stuff?
Yeah, we did go through that. But yeah, if you have anything to add on Mars or whatever, just let me know, and I can tell Bruce to be quiet so you can talk as well.
I mean, on the Mars stuff, I think it's just really interesting to kind of explore smart contract to smart contract lending. So that's definitely something I'm really bullish on with Mars. Probably like, I think it's gonna be really interesting to see that play out and leveraged yield farming, kind of basically giving more access to capital and capital efficiency, I think is great. And then one thing that I was really interested in is obviously, you know, we were talking about creating those vault tokens. So, you know, looking at different ways to basically, like, you know, you can deposit into an Apollo vault, and then you'll get that vault token. And then, you know, maybe if we can get, you know, vault tokens listed as collateral on Mars, you'd basically be able to borrow against your vault positions. So you'd have basically, you know, an auto compounding yield bearing token that you could borrow against. So I might just be a super degenerate, but that's kind of something that I'm really looking forward to seeing play out, just because I'm a huge fan of like Yearn and Ethereum DeFi, and you know the vault tokens are pretty handy on there sometimes. So I think, you know, bringing that type of a concept over to Terra and then basically allowing kind of a line of credit against your vault positions, and then also, like I said, making that so that you don't get liquidated as well. So like some sort of LTV management maybe built in to where, you know, you could still technically get, I guess, wrecked from price, but you wouldn't, you know, get liquidated fully. So that's kind of what I've been interested in with the Mars stuff. It's like all the leverage yield farming capabilities that it's going to allow on Terra.
Yeah, man. I kind of was, you know, I had read through the white paper a little bit, but I actually chatted with one of the guys from Delphi today, and he was kind of explaining it to me. And I think it's really interesting that it's more of like a generalized kind of money market, but also kind of has those like Alphamora products. So it's actually far more useful for like the everyday user, but also is extremely useful for like, you know, DAOs with war chests, you know, that can utilize the contract to contract, you know, credit lines, which is super, super dope. Yeah, man. I'm going to let somebody come up and ask a question. There's a few people that are requested. So, yeah, guys, if you just want to ask a question, I'll let you guys up. Just ask your question, and then we can get you off and get another person on. Financier, guy with the Pablo Escobar PFP. Is that an NFT, bro? If you have a question, go ahead, man. No. All good? Okay. No worries. Yeah, man. So we are going to move on. We're going to go to kind of the continued development and redesign of the current Apollo platform. Kind of just what you guys are working on behind the scenes. Bruce, if you want to take this one away.
Yeah, I think this really kind of goes down to the point that when we release stuff, it's not like it's I think we always kind of look at stuff and it's like, how can we improve this, how can we make it better, how can we continue working on it. So I think we will continue kind of redesigning the or kind of working on the front end, both of kind of the main Apollo platform, and I think this will kind of not only kind of the front end, but also kind of the back end stuff as well, and kind of making everything smoother, more scalable. And I think always when you build something, you then kind of look at it and you kind of reassess how it could be done more efficiently. So I think, yeah, there's no kind of standing still. We will kind of keep working on, even when we've kind of released stuff, it's not just kind of done and out there and finished and then on to the next thing. I think it's kind of important to kind of go back and kind of keep working on that stuff. So yeah, we've looked at a kind of a front end redesign that will be getting done in the future, and then kind of redesigning the kind of the contract stuff to make it more more kind of siloed, so you can have kind of different parts for different things. And I think also once we then become open source as well, this is going to make it easier for kind of other projects. You can kind of, you'll be able to kind of take bits, and I think it's kind of goes back to what we were kind of saying earlier around kind of helping the ecosystem grow. And I think at the moment, that if you're building kind of Ethereum, there's kind of loads of stuff that you can kind of Fork and take and just kind of build from there. So I think we're going to kind of see that more and more on Terra, where kind of the building blocks will be there. So it's going to be much easier for kind of new projects to launch. And I think that kind of really kind of fits in well with us. The more the ecosystem grows, the more we can kind of benefit from these projects as well. So yeah, a number of kind of new things, but also kind of redesigning and kind of continuing to make the stuff that we already have out more efficient and continually making it better.
Awesome, man. That sounds great. And kind of just, sorry if I have bad audio, moving on to what you two see as kind of the challenges and benefits of kind of building on Terra, being a dev on Terra, because, you know, first, there's not like that many great Rust devs. Luckily, you guys have a handful, which is great, but it's a fairly small community. Kind of like you're saying on Ethereum, you kind of can, just copy paste a probably large portion of the developer work you need done. So kind of if you want to go into the benefits and challenges of being a dev on Terra.
Yeah. So,
I take this one. I think kind of you hit the nail on the head. There's definitely kind of a smaller ecosystem of devs. It's definitely kind of a newer platform. And there's also kind of less auditors and stuff like that. So kind of queues for getting audits can always be, can be more challenging as well. But I think kind of on the, and I guess also kind of there's just less stuff, built on the ecosystem. So a lot of what we're doing is kind of, and you've kind of seen that with Astroport, but that's really kind of, again, really aiming to be kind of the first example. It's not going to be the kind of the only project that we're looking to build on top of. And I think you'll kind of see more and more of this as more projects come out. There's more that we can do, both in terms of kind of the dev and the building side, but also in terms of kind of the war chest. There's going to be more projects that we can invest in through farming, invest in through kind of seed rounds as well. And I think we'll kind of really see an explosion of kind of new Terra alts coming to the ecosystem. I think there is kind of this does kind of mean that there's a slightly slower development cycle, but then it does also mean that everything has been built from scratch. I think that definitely has some advantages, and I know kind of the devs enjoy kind of working on Cosmwasm and in Rust, and I think it also has kind of a number of advantages in terms of being audited as well. I think it's kind of easier to read and or at least easier to kind of audit and go through. I think there's kind of some cost benefits, and I think also it really is a lot more kind of not barriers to entry, but it means that there's kind of more space for kind of projects. So you see a lot of kind of the with EVM chains, it's quite often the big projects from Ethereum kind of port over to EVM chains, and they can kind of build there very easily. Whereas the kind of the projects building on Terra, it's not just kind of clones and copies of stuff that's already been built. I think we'll see a lot of kind of new primitives or at least kind of different ways of doing things. And I think we're already beginning to see that. And I think even stuff like kind of Anchor is a good example. There's no kind of equivalent really of Anchor anywhere else. And I think we'll kind of continue seeing these slightly different things that can only really be done or can be done on Terra that maybe can't or are more difficult to do on Ethereum. So yeah, I think there's kind of some pros and cons, but I feel like the cons are going to disappear over time. And I think that the pros are going to stay there. So yeah, it's been a great experience for us.
Totally agree. And if you want to add something in.
Yeah, for sure. I've been doing a lot of work recently on spending time with developers and newer developers and stuff. And I actually think that the challenge is kind of like the fun part for me, I guess, of, you know, limited resources. You really have to make the most of everything you're doing. So something really cool, you know, I was down in Miami last week or like 2 weeks ago with the Miami Hack Week. So I got a chance to spend time with some of the TFL dev relations, like, Octomangle, he's the man. He even helped me learn a little bit more about development myself. So I spent a lot of time personally the past week or two, you know, learning how to install local Terra. I was, working on deploying smart contracts and stuff. And then I was in the house with, 20 to 25 other, mainly Web2 hackers. So a lot of them have, really good experience in building, you know, building products, but they don't have much exposure to DeFi itself and then Terra at all. So, you know, I had the chance to work with, you know, 20 really smart developers, and it was really cool. I think, you know, I have a lot of experience in DeFi and, you know, I can't write smart contracts really myself, but you know, I can kind of read it. And I taught myself a lot about development. And I think that's a key to bringing in more developers is being able to kind of speak their language a little bit. So, you know, I got to build a few like prototype projects with some of the devs, and, you know, I was kind of showing them where the source code is and different resources and stuff. So I think that, you know, if we can make something kind of like, you know, the Terra toolbox, like that Vlad's working on, where a lot of these resources are in one place, rather than, you know, obviously I've spent a lot of time in the weeds of Terra. So it's kind of easy for me to point out, you know, oh, this is where you can get these contracts. This is where this is, even though I can't do it myself, I know where to find it all. So I found that as like kind of a barrier where, you know, it for someone that's not involved in DeFi and Terra for the last, you know, two years or so, it's kind of, you know, hard to just get acclimated. So I think that we need to do, you know, just more stuff like that, like hands-on work with devs, teaching them DeFi. You know, they a lot of them can pick it up really quick. They're really smart people. They just weren't really exposed to this. So definitely want to give a big shout out to the TFL staff for the Hack Week. It was honestly like, you know, super fun experience. You know, we got to meet, you know, some people from Jump and Hashed, and, you know, they were all super cool, and they're very involved in trying to bring more developers into the space and hosting Hack Weeks and stuff. So I know a lot of that stuff, it's kind of hard to see unless you're really on the ground floor of it, but there's definitely a ton of work being done to bring Cosm Wasm devs into the space and to help get them into new projects to work. So I'm definitely super bullish, even though it is a little bit of a challenge. I'm super bullish.
Awesome, man. Love to hear that. A non Terra pilling Web 2 devs. Love to hear it. Pump our dev bags, man. Pump our dev bags. That's dope.
That's the goal, man.
I'm going to invite Spreading or Terra Bridger up here to ask a question. He'll be on in just a second. Do you think that some of those Web 2 guys are like getting kind of pilled on Web 3? Do you see people like kind of wanting to quit their jobs and like join?
Yeah, for sure. So down there, there was a few people, you know, it was kind of like, you know, you just put 25 voters into one house and we all just kind of started working on stuff. So, you know, there was one team building more kind of like more usability stuff, like being able to send UST to somebody without a Terra wallet, and then, you know, allowing them to, you know, set up a wallet through that. And then some other teams are working on, like, you know, osmosis automation. I actually ended up meeting one partner, and we kind of built an LP swap, or like a prototype testnet for LP swapping, so that you could like kind of go from B Luna Luna to Luna UST without breaking apart. So obviously, you know, nothing groundbreaking, but, you know, we were getting some contracts from TerraSwap, and then we created the LP pairs, and you know, I definitely think a lot of them started to get really fascinated with the DeFi stuff. So I definitely think that we probably acquired a few new Web3 devs that week, and it's really cool to see it. It's kind of see it in person. Obviously, I'm pseudo anon, so it's interesting to go out into person and actually start meeting people in person and all that stuff. So I am pretty doxed for anyone that doesn't know. I'm definitely heavily doxed now.
All good, man. Okay, Terra Bridger, what's up? What's up? If you had a question to ask, and now's the time. Oh, rugged again by all of the guest questions. All good. That was good. So we're going to move on to kind of what's coming up for Apollo. First thing on the list is going to be Apollo staking. Obviously, kind of something that we're all excited to kind of have come out with the Apollo. So Bruce, if you want to kick that off and kind of give us some details.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is kind of one of the real critical things we're looking to get out. I guess, first of all, it was originally going to be called Zed Apollo. I guess it's only a minor thing, but we will be renaming it to VE Apollo, just to I guess, kind of keep things simple. All these namings can get a little bit complicated. So we're going to be going with the Curve naming of the token. So yeah, it'll be pretty similar to Curve in terms of, and I guess similar to kind of the Astro Porters as well, in terms of the longer you lock up for, the higher yield you will get. Also the more governance power you have, but you'll also be able to do stuff like kind of boost the Apollo vaults. So I think this will be quite interesting because we've obviously seen kind of the Curve convex relationship, but this would also be kind of built on top of the Astroport boosts as well. So yeah, it's definitely kind of a big priority for us at the moment. Getting relatively close. So something we've been kind of working on hard, and ideally something we would have had out when we launched, but I think we kind of really have to make the choice of I think we were kind of really keen to kind of get the project out and start kind of accumulating tokens in the war chest, especially around kind of the Astroport launch and stuff like that, to really put us in the best position for the long-term growth of the project. But yeah, I think this is something that we are really looking to get out as soon as possible. So kind of big priority to get done and get audited and get out. But I think, yeah, once it's out, it's I think it's going to have some kind of it's going to have kind of a number of interesting functionalities, and I think there's also going to be a lot of interesting stuff around kind of the governance as well, and kind of everything from the management of kind of the current Apollo platform, but also kind of the war chest governance as well. I think adds a lot of interesting aspects to this. Kind of what projects do we want to invest in? What projects do we want to farm? How do we want to kind of use the assets? And we see this a lot from the community already. We're getting kind of loads of kind of suggestions on what to do. So I think we're going to really be looking kind of support the community and kind of creating proposals and really kind of looking at new innovative ways that we can really start deploying the war chest, but also kind of continue earning revenue for the war chest through the platform as well. And I think we were kind of really keen to really have this long-term mindset on the governance rather than trying to rush out some governance that just rewarded kind of short-term behavior. And I think especially with being in charge of the war chest, it needs to be kind of a long-term mindset. I think we kind of, it's definitely kind of more complex than kind of just a simple staking and governance, but I'm very confident that it'll be kind of worth it when it does come out. And we've kind of seen a number of kind of other projects that have utilized this similar tokenomics to Curve, everything kind of like Frax and everything like that. I just think the alignment is so much better, but also kind of the fact that you'll be able to kind of get, that we'll be able to kind of reward our longer term holders and longer term stakers more. I think this really aligns with kind of our mindset. Top priority, but didn't want to kind of rush out anything that was not aligned or didn't kind of work well with that. And I think kind of, I think governance is a tricky thing to get right. So I think, yeah, it's important to get right. And I think kind of, I think also kind of really kind of supporting people in kind of creating of proposals and kind of the supporting and help of the community in driving the project forward. And I think it's not as soon as kind of governance comes out, we're just going to kind of let go of the project. It is going to be kind of continually supporting and continue kind of providing information and making sure that kind of the community has all the tools necessary to take over the project in the mid to long term. And I think also kind of with the governance, it's kind of really important that people have all the information. I think often you see these kind of governance proposals and people just either vote or just kind of quickly click yes. So I think, yeah, kind of really making sure that people have all the information and know everything about the governance process and what the kind of the results will be of making certain decisions as well. I think this is kind of the thing that I'm probably most excited for in the short term, and I think it'll kind of make a big thing to come out.
Yeah, man, I am totally with you there. Anon, if you have anything to add.
I mean, obviously, I might be biased, but I'm definitely most bullish on kind of accumulating Astro. And then, obviously, as Bruce said, the governance is going to be really important for Apollo because of that meta governance factor where, by being an Apollo locker, you're going to have a good amount of say over, you know, what we do with our Astro voting power as well. So obviously, you know, our Astro strategy was one, the lock drop. And that was, you know, how we acquired the first 1,000,000 tokens. Then we did the phase two on the UST side. So once the pool was created, you know, half of that would be the Astro tokens. And, you know, and then that allows us to keep collecting more rewards as that unlocks. And then, you know, the next phase of that, I know you guys probably touched on it, is like, you know, the daily DCA of Astro tokens. So, you know, on a weekly average at current prices, we're taking in around, you know, 15,000 to 18,000 tokens just off of vault compounding fees. So I consider, you know, the DCA is a really effective way, and the lock drop, to basically reduce your principal risk. So we've acquired, you know, like almost, you know, 1.1 million Astro tokens with minimal risk, other than obviously, you know, the price of Astro, but the way we acquired it, a lot of it was done through, you know, principal, like without principal risk. So definitely bullish on that. And then obviously, you know, we have all of the Astro, which is going to be pretty key to bootstrap the liquidity of the staking derivatives and all that. So once that kind of gets set up, that's when, you know, I think Apollo governance will be very, like, a very important thing, because it'll have a good say on the emission the emission distribution on the Astro pools. So that's definitely one thing that I'm really bullish on is setting up that meta governance, so that, you know, even then it's going to provide value to Astro as well as Apollo and Apollo stakers. So you know, I think there'll be the somewhat of, you know, DAOs trying to accumulate Astro, but as we see often on Ethereum, you know, if say you're not a whale or a DAO, and you know, you can't accumulate a ton of Astro tokens, you can kind of accumulate the locked Apollo. And that will give you like a meta governance over a bit of that the Astro voting power. So I think the governance is really important, as, you know, not only are we governing the Apollo war chest, but, you know, there's also going to be, you know, governance participation in Astroport now, since we're going to ideally be one of the larger holders out there. So I think that there's a lot of responsibility for Apollo governance, and I'm definitely kind of want to just have like a lot of things in place before we release the governance as well. Kind of just, we have the auto DCAing in, you know, we have a lot of the vaults set up. So now I think we're definitely getting really close to where we could, you know, pass a lot of the governance power off to the community. And honestly, I can't wait, because it can be even a little bit stressful, you know, as a smaller team making decisions before this comes out. But we do have 12 co-founders, so it's already, you know, it's not like one or two people can really sway things. So even currently, you know, it's 12 people that are, you know, making, that are involved in the decision making. So it'll definitely be a little bit of stress off of our backs, I think, is that we're going to be able to include more people, more ideas, get more smart people involved, and really just blow the war chest up to like billions of dollars is the goal.
Let's go, man. Yeah, man. I'm definitely most excited, kind of about governance, just to kind of start building the community aside from the people that have, you know, been there for the last few months, and getting more people from Terra involved, and just kind of growing the Apollo community. I am going to invite another person up here to ask a question, Mad Science Man. I will be adding you as a speaker. Just ask a question, we'll answer it, and then yeah, man. See if Twitter Spaces actually works. Not counting on it. No, nope, there you go. What's up, Mad Scientist? Can you speak to the mic?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
All good. What's up, man?
Hey, forgive me if like my question is kind of new. This is the first time I'm hearing about Apollo DAO. Can you like very quickly tell me what differentiates Apollo DAO from something like Beefy Finance or Alpha Homura, and which is Alpha Finance, and I was just looking very quickly on the website, and it said like week one, you guys had $141 million in total value lock. And I was just looking recently, and it's much lower. What happened? Those were my two questions.
Yeah. So I'll start with the the first question, basically, you know, what's the difference between Apollo and a auto compounder? So I like to explain it more as, you know, Apollo has auto compounding functions, but the auto compounding vaults are a bootstrapping mechanism for the treasury. So we take, you know, obviously once governance comes out and we'll probably, you know, adjust some of the different figures, but they're, the performance fee goes into the war chest and then the war chest gets deployed. So the auto compounder, like, we're not really an auto compounder, although we offer auto compounding functions. But we offer those services to bootstrap our treasury. So, you know, it was a way to bootstrap the treasury without outside liquidity providers. And, you know, like a traditional fund, most of them, you know, they'll have outside liquidity providers that you know, they have to, you know, turn a profit. And, you know, really with certain assets in traditional finance, you can really only make money from buying and selling them. And, you know, in crypto, I'm like a super crypto native person. So I saw the opportunity to kind of create a fund that creates revenue without just purely buying and selling. So it's like an actively managed fund that uses our tokens to create more revenue. But so that's kind of how we're a little bit different than, you know, a traditional auto compounder, but definitely a lot of similarities. Just the main goal is to provide DeFi services, and in return, that money gets bootstrapped into the war chest, and then Apollo governance will go live, and then the Apollo stakers will have control of that war chest and how it's deployed. So it's we basically underlying have the same core function as an auto compounder, but our performance fees and treasury and the treasury management is kind of what makes us a little bit different. And on the TVL thing, so the
soon to be meta governance over things like Astroport as well.
Yeah, exactly. So we've acquired a lot of Astro. You know, if you're familiar with Curve Convex, Curve Yearn, a lot of what was, you know, done, a lot of like the Apollo core ethos was kind of derived from, you know, Ethereum, DeFi, Yearn, Andre Cronier. I really studied them a lot and their relationship with the stable swaps and the DEXs, and saw that there was an opportunity to take auto compounding as a bootstrapping mechanism, similar to, you know, how even like Olympus has, you know, their bootstrapping mechanisms, you know, in whatever, every project has different mechanisms, and, you know, how can you use that mechanism to create something that provides value beyond the just being a bootstrapping mechanism or a farm? So that's kind of the little bit differences. And then on the TVL, we did a bootstrapping event in the beginning where we used our own LPs. Basically, the yield gets redirected from our LPs into purchasing Apollo tokens. So at that time, a lot of people, you know, borrowed from Anchor, and, you know, they put more into Apollo to farm the Apollo token. Also, at the time of launch, the prices of all the tokens were probably around, you know, 2 to 3 times higher. So the TVL dropped in US dollar value for sure, because a lot of the underlying LP tokens lost a lot of value. So definitely a combination of, you know, market downturn where people look to get out of LP positions, as well as the LP positions themselves have lost US dollar value. So definitely looking to bring more TVL in. I think bringing in Luna products will help a lot with the TVL, as well as the Astro strategy should bring in, you know, a pretty hefty amount of TVL if that plays out, you know, kind of how we see it. So hopefully that answered both the questions, and I don't know if anyone else had any further questions on either of those topics.
We got one more person, financier, with a question. They tried to speak earlier, but it's no avail. I'll try one more time. Financier, I'm going to invite you up, homie, see if you can come through. And you're on. If you just want to speak through mic. Rug again. All good. All good. All good. One second. Cool. Yeah. So kind of moving kind of from the VE Apollo plans onto one of our last topics, the war chest. You guys have been doing some pretty cool things, namely kind of positioning yourselves with, or positioning a war chest with Prism. So Bruce, if you kind of want to go into why you guys want to accumulate Prism for the war chest, kind of if what you're bullish about, and kind of just go from there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, first of all, this kind of goes back to the point of we're going to see some kind of new primitives on Terra. I think Prism's pretty unique. I guess there's kind of some sort of similar things. But yeah, really kind of excited about the way they're going about things and the way they're kind of looking at kind of splitting tokens into their component parts. And in some ways that kind of reminds me of the kind of convex model and the way we were discussing it earlier, in terms of not everyone wants every part of a token. Some people just want the high yield. Some people want the governance power. Some people, they want the price action. So in the same way that kind of convex is splitting up those different aspects for something like Curve, I think it's really interesting. And obviously in a completely different way, but it's really interesting how Prism's doing that. So obviously they're kind of starting off with stuff like Luna, being able to split that into kind of a yield component and a price component, I think has some really interesting applications. And I think there's also kind of some really interesting future applications. So potentially even kind of splitting out stuff like governance power and kind of splitting it out into more and more component parts. And I think something that we've kind of really seen with DeFi is these tokens are getting they're getting more complex. They're also having kind of more use cases, which is great. But I think that the way that those use cases are going to get the most value is if they can kind of be split out into components and people can kind of purchase those individual parts. So yeah, I think it's kind of really interesting, and I think we're going to see a lot of interesting stuff and some very, very clever people behind the behind Prism. So I think for us, we're going to go for a pretty low risk strategy in terms of Prism, and we're going to be going for phase four, which is the farming. So you'll split up your Luna into Y Luna and P Luna, and then you'll use the Y Luna yield to farm Prism tokens. So as a DAO, we're going to be putting 5k of our 6k spare Luna, well, not spare, in the war chest Luna, towards farming Prism. So yeah, I think it's a really good way to get exposure to kind of a really exciting project, and yeah, really looking forward to kind of seeing how it plays out. And then I think there's kind of a lot you can do with those Prism tokens, whether we kind of put them into X Prism, whether we LP X Prism Prism, and also kind of Prism's then going to be kind of the main pair that everything's going to trade through. So there's going to be kind of a lot of kind of trading fees going through there. And I think once we have these tokens within the war chest, and then we can kind of also start looking at, can we start creating vaults on top of these products as well? So yeah, it's something I'm kind of really, really excited about. And I think it's a great way for us to get exposure to this project. And I think it's kind of something that we're going to keep looking to do moving forward, is kind of keep using our assets to farm with. And I think this is why we were so keen to kind of build up the war chest early and get the project out as soon as possible, so that we kind of be in front of these projects and have capital to farm them and get exposure in these kind of early stages. So yeah, Prism will be the next one, but we're seeing a lot of projects kind of ready to launch. So we've already kind of mentioned Mars and stuff like that. So Prism will be next, but lots of farming opportunities coming up, and I think that's where we're really going to excel and be able to kind of use our assets to. It's just a very good risk reward play, I believe.
Yeah, man, it definitely is. I'm very excited about Prism. I think it's a really, really cool protocol. I've listened to that Delphi and Hyperion podcast maybe like four or five times. And my mind just keeps on getting blown every time. So super excited that you guys will be getting involved in that in some way, and kind of sending some Prism tokens back to the war chest for the Apollo community as well. I think it's definitely a good risk reward play for the war chest and everything like that. So very excited. Manon, did you have anything to add on to that?
Yeah, I have like a little bit of alpha type thing, I guess.
Let's go.
Yeah, it's more of just something I'm like kind of personally interested in, just because I don't know, I love DeFi. But so, I definitely have been trying to work, a little bit with even getting Olympus, like the GOM over onto Terra. So that's kind of something that, you know, I've been working on as well, is trying to just help that process along. But I definitely think getting a GOM UST pair on Astroport, which obviously is technically created, so it's in the starting phase of having GOM UST. There's still some liquidity incentives and you know, proposals and all that type of, you know, stuff. But besides all that, I'm definitely really interested to get, you know, GOM, which is like governance OM. So I'm not sure if everyone's super familiar with GOM, but it's basically OM staked in governance wrapped, and so it's derived from the price of OM times the index. And the index is basically, you know, if you had staked one OM in the beginning, how many OM would you have? I think it's around like 77, 78 right now. I haven't checked it in a couple of days, but I think this is a good opportunity for, obviously, you know, OM being close to its RFV and Terra expanding. I think it would be kind of cool to get that over. And then, you know, maybe down the road, we could get like, you know, a fully functioning Olympus on Cosm Wasm. So that would be, I think, something personally I think would be really cool. And if we could get the war chest involved in, holding some GOM for the long term, and if we can get it for a relatively, low risk or somehow protect, like pretty protected principal, I think it would be a really interesting collaboration to kind of work, you know, somewhat with Olympus, just because I think a lot of their bootstrapping mechanisms and like Olympus Pro is coming over to Terra pretty soon. I think it's in audit right now, or nearly done with audit. So I think the Olympus Pro and GOM, and, you know, just bringing over more DeFi capabilities to Terra is something I'm kind of excited about. And if the war chest can get involved in that, and maybe helping seed liquidity for it. I know that I don't know if everyone follows the Luna governance proposals, like, you know, as weirdly as I do, but they have that one out where they're going to bond, the UST on OM. I think it's around $1 million that Terra is going to do. And I'm pretty sure in that proposal, they have something in line to offer Luna rewards on the GOM UST pair. So obviously, you know, dual rewards between GOM and Luna would take a little bit of figuring out with the proxy contracts and all that, but there is, you know, a possible scenario of GOM Luna rewards on top of, you know, the potential Astro rewards. And then if there was to be a vault, you would basically be getting, you know, Apollo, Luna, GOM, and Astro tokens. And I think that would be a pretty OP vault. So that's kind of something, you know, a little bit outside of like the Apollo roadmap, more of just something I'm personally having a little bit of fun with. So
damn, man, that sounds super, super, super OP. Actually, that sounds really sick. And if you guys could see the liquidity for that, that would be amazing, man. Definitely, if I would want to have a team building on Terra, it would definitely be the OM team. Yeah, man. One of the things I've been super excited about is just to see the Terra community and like higher ups at TFL and DO and whatnot kind of be super inclusive and kind of like really encouraging other builders to kind of come cross chain like we saw with Spell, and hopefully we can see some really cool collaboration with OM, because those guys are definitely geniuses and could bring a lot of value to the space. So that is super sick, man. Super sick.
Yeah, and then I think maybe long term that you'd be able to get something like, obviously the GOM is going to be wrapped through Wormhole. So you'd have to, as of currently, you'd have to, you know,
watch your tokens. Watch your tokens.
Yeah, you'd have to, you know, purchase GOM on ETH, convert it through the wormhole, blah, blah, blah. So obviously right now, a little inconvenient, especially if you're not an Ethereum user, blah, blah, blah. So I think that development will take a little bit of time, but it's definitely something that's probably coming So I think it's something kind of just a little bit exciting, I guess, like if you're an OMI. And then eventually, if they really fully port it over, they could, I guess, unwrap those tokens. And then you would basically have, you know, a native Cosm, Wasm, Ohm would be like, obviously, that's kind of more of like a down the road type thing, and maybe never, but would be kind of cool to see them port their governance token over. And then eventually, you know, you could unwrap it and have like a native Ohm on Terra for, you know, the Terra OMIs that are out there.
Awesome, man. Cool. All right, boys. Well, we are coming to the end of our spaces. If you guys want to add one last thing before we leave, go at it. But thanks for coming and hanging out. I think we got a really, really good in-depth update of kind of what you guys are doing behind the curtains, and a lot of stuff to be excited about in the pretty near future. So, yeah, man, everything is good. Super excited about your guys' project.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. As always, always really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. No problem.
Yeah, it's great to do something besides shit post on Twitter every once in a while.
Yep. Shit posting doesn't make me feel anything anymore. I got to host the spaces, you know?
Yeah. I need to move up. I need a bigger dopamine hit now.
All right. But yeah, guys, we will be back here in 2 weeks with Terraforming. Thanks for coming out, and we'll see you guys in a few weeks.
Thanks so much, everyone. And yeah, we'll be posting a recording of both Twitch spaces very shortly as well.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Terraforming with Apollo Dao, recorded on Wednesday, February 9th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Visit OC's What We Do page using the link in the show notes to take advantage of some of their other educational resources, including weekly meetups to discuss Terra protocols, strategies, and concepts, the Terra Luna Intel Report on Telegram, and YouTube explainer videos on Terra concepts. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
Put your hands up like you got a couple questions. Ain't no misdirection, just a bunch of flexing. All aggressive, insane from all directions. Smoke rolls in when I start a session. Blank canvas, blaze up the handlers. Rocking back and forth like I got the van stuck. Don't grind the clutch, mind you hush. Put your mask on and don't touch the antlers. Feeling untouchable when I'm on the verse. But in the universe, I'm just writing some words. Enticing these nerds while I'm laying out my memoirs. Like, remember when I had to fight the centaur? I'm a book nerd, let me take you on the journey. Lost in the labyrinth, searching out the lost fern. For certain, got the taxes included. Acting like a writer, never felt secluded. Shit and line them up. Just another fixed game of try my luck. Go lighten up, dog. It could always be worse. Unless you're in the back of a hearse, then you're dead. Or put it in new speakers. It's a toss up, driver or just tweakers. Don't stress, yo. I've done the research. Living life like a bunch of fucking lemurs. It's a remake off the cutting floor. We take a little bit of poison and put it in the cheesecake. Tastes great, less filling, less stress, more killing. As he blew the cornerstone out the building, and the blocks came tumbling down all humble. Feels like we're drowning in a little puddle. Rebuttal? I should be taking off in the shuttle. Getting high in space with the Hubble.
spaces.